In my opinion, a community only needs four things: a church, a school, housing, and Costco. When you go into Costco, my favorite part of Costco is absolutely the free samples. Diane, amen. The free samples. You walk into Costco. Yes, Carrie says an amen too. You walk into Costco and there's those free samples. And the idea behind the free samples is clearly what? To get you to buy the product. To get you to buy the product. We're in a New Testament survey. And what I want to do this morning is give you a free sample of the book of Matthew. And my sincere hope, after every one of these book surveys, is that you will go home and read the entire book. That's what Michael Tyler was trying to do when he introduced the book of Luke to you. He wanted you to go home and read the book. That's what Ben Hendricks was hoping to do when he introduced the book of Acts to you, was he wanted you to go home and read the book. And this morning, I am going to attempt, by God's grace, to introduce the book of Matthew to you. And my sincere hope is that you will go home and read the entire book. I have a simple question for you, a very, very simple question. Do you want to know how to be a follower of Jesus Christ? I cannot think of any book that will teach you what it means to be a follower of Jesus Christ than the book of Matthew. Who is the real Jesus? What is he like? What did he say? What did he command? The book of Matthew answers these questions with absolute accuracy. There are many books today that claim to tell you the true teaching of Jesus. There are many books today that claim to teach you the true life of Jesus. But you see, one day there was a man named Matthew. He was a tax collector. And he was sitting at a tax collector's booth, and the Lord Jesus himself came up and said, "Follow me." And that man left his tax collector's booth and followed Jesus. And that man, under the absolute inspiration of the Holy Spirit, has told us the true story of Jesus. And you can absolutely trust the validity and the accuracy of the book of Matthew. Who is the real Jesus Christ? Will you pray with me, please? Will you pray right now that God would open your heart and from the book of Matthew teach you who the real Jesus is and teach you what it means to be a follower of Christ? Will you pray for the people sitting around you that God would help them through the book of Matthew to know who the real Jesus is and to know how to be a follower of Christ? Now, would you pray for me that I would do a great job of accurately representing this book? May the words of my mouth and the thoughts of my heart be pleasing to you. In Jesus' name, amen. This is a wonderful example of why my only job is to teach the Bible. That is my only job here for the next few moments, is to teach the Bible. Imagine the pressure that would be on me if I knew that this morning I had 75, 80 people looking to me to tell you who Jesus really is and what he really said. And I'm in my office all week going, okay, I've got to get this right. I've got to tell these people who the real Jesus is and what he really said and what it really means to be a follower of Jesus Christ. Can you imagine the pressure that would be on me? And the books I would pile up and the websites I would search. And all I have to do is tell you what this said. That's all I have to do. I have the truth right here. And all I have to do this morning is do my very best to represent Matthew as closely as Matthew intended himself to be represented. That's all I need to do. And if you want to know the real Jesus Christ, read the book of Matthew. Just read it. Because that's the real Jesus. Let's start. Open, please, to Matthew chapter 1, verse 18. Matthew 1, verse 18. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. These are the absolute facts. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child by the Holy Spirit. And Joseph, her husband, being a righteous man and not wanting to disgrace her, planned to send her away secretly. But when he had considered this, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child who has been conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you will call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. Now all this took place to fulfill what was spoken by the Lord through the prophet. Behold, the virgin shall be with child, and shall bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which translated means God with us. Verse 21, the angel says, you will call his name Jesus. Why? Because he will save his people from their sins. And you see, verse 23 quotes the book of Isaiah. And as you read the book of Matthew, you'll notice that Matthew quotes from the Old Testament many, many, many times to show us how Jesus fulfills Old Testament prophecy. This is a wonderful part of the book of Matthew. You can look to the book of Matthew to see how Jesus fulfills Old Testament prophecy. In chapter 3, our Lord is baptized, and God the Father says this about him in Matthew 3:17. And behold, a voice out of the heaven said, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. That is the real Jesus Christ. Chapter 4 tells us of Satan's temptation of Christ, and you can see how our Lord corrected every lie of the devil with the Word of God, and that's why it's so important that you read the Word of God every day, because you and I are susceptible to Satan's lies about God, about Jesus, about salvation, and about who you are. And we see our Lord correcting every lie of Satan, every single one, with the Word of God. In chapter 4, our Lord begins to preach, and he preaches this in Matthew 4:17, behind me on the screen. From that time, Jesus began to preach and say, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." Jesus begins to call his disciples in chapter 4, and he calls them with this beautiful phrase. Look at Matthew 19 and 20 behind me on the screen. "And he said to them, 'Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men.' Immediately they left their nets and followed him." Jesus wants to make you a fisher of men as well. Wonderful, wonderful calling. We're all invited to be fishers of men. The next section of Matthew is absolutely incredible. Let me ask you a question. Wouldn't it be awesome if Jesus Christ came back just for a second to preach at Trinity? If I could stand right here and say, "I hope you'll be here on the 21st, because our guest speaker is the risen Christ. He's coming back and he's going to preach a sermon, and then he'll go back up to heaven, and we don't know the day or the hour when he'll come for real, but he'll be here on the 21st. I can guarantee you two things. Number one, Mike and Tandy are not going on their sabbatical. They'll be here. And number two, so will you. But my question to you is this. If the Lord Jesus were the guest speaker next Sunday, what would he say? I happen to know. He would say the same thing as he did 2,000 years ago. You see, Matthew 5, 6, and 7 is one sermon. And the preacher is Jesus Christ. Have you read Matthew 5, 6, and 7? It is absolutely essential that every Christian read this section over and over and over again. Look at how it starts. Turn to Matthew 5. Matthew 5. Verse 1, "When Jesus saw the crowds, he went up on the mountain, and after he sat down, his disciples came to him. He opened his mouth and began to teach them, saying, 'Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the gentle, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Blessed are those who have been persecuted for the sake of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of God. Blessed are you when people insult you and persecute you and falsely say all kinds of things evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward in heaven is great. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you." Read Matthew 5 and 7, 5, 6 and 7 over and over and over again. If you read it and obey it, your life will be founded on the solid rock of Jesus Christ. In chapters 8 and 9, we get a closer look at who Jesus really is. Read the book of Matthew and you see the real Jesus. The Jesus who has the love and compassion to heal and also has the power to do it. The centurion teaches us about real faith and how we should respond to Jesus. We meet the real Jesus. We meet the real Jesus, and we can say with his disciples in Matthew 8, 27, "What kind of man is this, that even the wind and the sea obey him?" We see lives changed forever and people meet the real Jesus. Matthew 9, 12 and 13. When Jesus heard this, he said, "It's not those who are healthy who need a physician, but those who are sick. But go and learn what this means. I desire compassion and not sacrifice, for I did not come to call the righteous, but sinners." All throughout the book of Matthew, our Lord Jesus guides us out of dead religion into a real relationship with Christ. And that's what the book of Matthew can do for you and for me. Guide you out of man-made religion into a real relationship with Jesus. The book of Matthew is the real Jesus calling. We read Matthew, the real Jesus wants all of you. The real Jesus wants all of you, and you wouldn't want it any other way. Look at Matthew 10. Turn with me to Matthew 10. Matthew 10, 32. Matthew 10, 32. "Therefore, everyone who confesses me before men, I will confess him before my Father in heaven. But whoever denies me before men, I will deny him before my Father who is in heaven. Do not think I came to bring peace on the earth. I did not come to bring peace, but a sword, for I came to set a man against his father, a daughter against her mother, and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law, and a man's enemies will be the members of his household. He who loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. He who loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. He who does not take up his cross and follow after me is not worthy of me. He who has found his life will lose it. He who has lost his life for my sake will find it." Oh, brothers and sisters, we have to read the real Jesus and his real teaching. Because my sin nature and your sin nature will always want to water down the total commitment to Jesus. And believe me, you don't want anything less than total commitment. Matthew 10 32 through 39 is a passage that will challenge you, but oh, it is the key to the life that God has created you to live. Who is the real Jesus? He's the Jesus that spoke in Matthew 11, 28. You can just turn one page and you'll be there. Matthew 11, 28, and he says this, "Come to me. Come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light." That's the real Jesus speaking to you. That's the real Jesus. In chapter 12, Jesus has several confrontations with the Pharisees. And again, he shows us that true religion is loving God and loving others. And that true religion comes from the heart, not from outward religious performance. Chapter 13 has some of Jesus' beautiful parables. The parables teach us the absolute truth about the kingdom of God. And I say to you, Trinity Baptist, just as the Lord said in Matthew 13, 9, "He who has ears, Trinity Baptist, let him hear." He who has ears, let him hear. As you continue reading, you see Jesus feed the 5,000. and you walk on water. And you can rejoice as you read Jesus saying in Matthew 15, 27, behind me on the screen. But immediately Jesus spoke to them saying, "Take courage, it is I, do not be afraid." And we hear Jesus' loving challenge in Matthew 15, 31. Immediately Jesus stretched out his hand and took hold of him and said, "You of little faith, why do you doubt?" And we can proclaim with the disciples in verse 33, those who were in the boat worshipped him, saying, "You are certainly God's Son." Jesus continues to teach us that it is the heart that truly matters, not external performance. Look at Matthew 16 behind me on the screen. "Out of the heart comes evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, slanders. These are the things which defile the man, but to eat with unwashed hands does not defile the man." Chapter 15 shows us what faith in Jesus looks like. And we encounter the real Jesus again in chapter 16. Why don't you turn there, please, with me? Matthew 16, three or four pages with me. Matthew 16, verse 13. "Now when Jesus came to the district of Caesarea Philippi, he was asking his disciples, 'Who do people say the Son of Man is?' They say, 'Some say John the Baptist, and others Elijah, but still others Jeremiah, one of the prophets.' He said, 'Who do you say I am?' Simon Peter answered, 'You are the Christ, the Son of the living God.' And Jesus said to him, 'Blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, because flesh and blood did not reveal this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. I also say to you that you are Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overpower it. I will give you the keys to the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven.'" The real Jesus invites us to a real relationship. Look down at verse 24. Matthew 16, 24, Jesus said to his disciples, "If anyone wishes to come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever wishes to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. What will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and forfeits his soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? For the Son of Man is going to come in the glory of his Father with his angels and will repay every man according to his deeds." The book of Matthew helps you see what real Christianity is. It is the real Jesus calling you to a real relationship, and he has the right to do that because he is the Son of God. Oh, Trinity Baptist, come to him in repentance and faith. Come to him and say, and be honest with him and say, "I want to deny myself and take up my cross and follow you, but it's hard. Help me to do it. Bring people into my life that will help me do it. Help me to read your word and fill me with your Holy Spirit. And by your transforming grace, lead me to that fully committed life that you've called me to lead. Don't settle for less than the Christianity that Jesus preaches in the book of Matthew." The real Jesus teaches us about real faith. Matthew 17, 20. because of the littleness of your faith. For truly I say to you, if you have faith the size of a mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move, and nothing will be impossible for you. The real Jesus teaches us who is great in the kingdom of heaven. Matthew 18, 3 and 4, behind me on the screen. Truly I say to you, unless you are converted and become like children, you will not enter the kingdom of heaven. Whoever humbles himself as this child, he is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. We learn about the incredible love of Jesus. Yes, Jesus requires total commitment. But the book of Matthew is constantly encouraging us in that decision. Why don't you join me in chapter 19, verse 27. Then Peter said to him, behold, we've left everything and followed you. What then will there be for us? And Jesus said, truly I say to you, that you who have followed me in the regeneration, when the Son of Man will sit on his glorious throne, you also shall sit upon 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. And everyone who has left houses or brothers or sisters or father or mother or children or farms for my name's sake will receive many times as much and will inherit eternal life. But many who are first will be last, and the last will be first. Our Lord's compassion is clearly seen all throughout the book of Matthew. And as you continue reading throughout the book, you continually see how Jesus fulfills Old Testament prophecy. As we continue to read our Lord's life, we get to the triumphal entry as the King of Kings enters Jerusalem. And our hearts can sing just as the crowds did. In Matthew 21:9, Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. The book of Matthew is an incredible resource. Again, as you read the whole book, you get a powerful picture of what true religion is really supposed to be. You get the idea of the kind of life God is really looking for. Jesus shows us the true way of discipleship. And that is what the book of Matthew is all about. The book shines God's light on the errors of man-made religion and shows us what true religion really is. For example, look at chapter 22. Chapter 22, 34. But when the Pharisees heard that Jesus had silenced the Sadducees, they gathered themselves together. One of them, a lawyer, asked him a question, testing him, "Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law?" And he said to him, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the great and foremost commandment. The second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commands depend the whole law and the prophets." Chapters 24 and 25 are again one whole sermon. Incredible. This sermon is what we all need to hear. Trinity Baptist Church, are you distracted with everyday life? Are you distracted? Is your life focused and dedicated on faithfully serving the Lord? Are you eagerly waiting for His return, or are you distracted? Oh, Trinity Baptist, I could recommend books to you. I could recommend sermons to you. I could recommend seminars to you. I could recommend devotionals to you. But there is nothing, absolutely nothing better to get you back on track to serving the Lord than Matthew 24 and 25. A whole sermon from Jesus about serving him until he returns. Chapter 26 starts out with the most beautiful act of adoration and love and worship for Christ, and immediately followed by the most disastrous act of treachery and betrayal in the history of mankind. Jesus celebrates Passover with his disciples. And we read these beautiful words in Matthew 26, 26 through 28. While they were eating, Jesus took some bread, and after a blessing, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body." And when he'd taken the cup and given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink from it, all of you, for this is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins." We see Jesus' humanity as he cries out to the Father in the Garden of Gethsemane, and he becomes our perfect role model as in that very hour he submits to the Father's will. Matthew's story of Jesus climaxes at the cross. And as you read Matthew's portrayal, as you read Matthew's portrayal of the crucifixion of Jesus, you will come to the same conclusion that the centurion came to at the foot of the cross. Matthew 26, 54. "Now the centurion and those who were with him kept guarding over Jesus. When they saw the earthquake and the things that were happening, became very frightened and said, 'Truly, this was the Son of God.'" But praise the Lord. Praise the Lord that the book of Matthew doesn't end there. Turn to chapter 28. Now after the Sabbath, Matthew 28. Now after the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary came to look at the grave, and behold, a severe earthquake had occurred, for an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled away the stone and sat upon it. And his appearance was like lightning, and his clothing was as white as snow. The guards shook for fear of him and became like dead men. The angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you're looking for Jesus who's been crucified. He is not here, for he has risen, just as he said. Come and see the place where he was lying. Go quickly and tell his disciples that he has risen from the dead, and behold, he is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him. Behold, I have told you." Brothers and sisters, Jesus is alive. And he has given us his final command in verse 18. Take a look. "Jesus came up and spoke to them, saying, 'All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I command you. And lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age." Brothers and sisters, do you want to know the real Jesus? Do you want to know the difference between man-made religion and a real relationship with Christ? Do you want to be a disciple of Jesus? Not the world's definition. Do you want to be a disciple of Jesus? Not the world's definition, not the church's definition, not my definition, but Jesus' definition. Do you want to be a disciple of Jesus? I give you the book of Matthew. Read it over and over and over again. And don't just read it. Do what it says. Because it is only those that read and obey that have their life on the rock. Let's pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, by the power of your Holy Spirit, we pray that you would help us to read and understand and put all of our trust in the Jesus we read about in the book of Matthew. And it's in his name we pray, and his name we live. Amen.